B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta in the morning.
Coming up from NJ.com, we'll speak to our friend Mike Kay, who wrote a great piece. And he's trying to divide the two of being a Jewish man and being a reporter and commenting on DeSean Jackson, what the Eagles need to do. Now, I heard Sal Powell talk about this on ESPN yesterday.
Yeah.
Where he talked about the behind the scenes, the inner workings of the conversation that was had. One thing I did take away from the Steven Jackson comments was that DeSean apparently told him that he was being threatened by being fired. Like, that was a threat that at least came up in the conversation, and rightfully so. We're going to see how all this plays out, because there's a lot to play out here, whether it's a fine, whether it's suspension, whether it's both, whether it's being released by the Eagles. There's a lot of different scenarios that could play out here. And as I said earlier and really have said throughout the show today, it comes down, for me, to accountability before compassion. I don't like how in a lot of areas of our world we've like I don't like defaulting to somebody needing help. Maybe that's the way they think. Yeah, do they need help? Sure. Educate them? Absolutely. But doesn't there need to be some kind of fallout? Doesn't there need to be some kind of punishment here?
Sure.
Like, and I'm talking about not just in DeSean Jackson's case. I'm talking about in every case ever where someone needs to be like, well, I need to educate myself. Okay, fine, but that's almost like a, oh, that my bad. Sorry, I did this egregious thing.
Yeah, like I get a mulligan.
Yeah.
And I fully well know that I get a mulligan, so therefore I can test the waters, maybe.
Yeah, I'm just sorry.
Yeah.
Everything's not okay now. Like, it's not a magic word all of a sudden.
No.
And, to make everything better.
All the comparisons we have to what happened 7 years ago, look, I think we're all on record. They should have gotten rid of Riley Cooper, and we all agreed on that. Mm-hmm. What they should do with DeSean Jackson now, it wouldn't surprise me if they cut him. There has to be some kind of an action taken. I want to hear more of what he was thinking, what his intent was. You know, it talks about, failed. My intention wasn't. Okay, what was your intent? Because I think then you get a better feel of where DeSean Jackson is going with this.
Mm-hmm.
And do you award a mulligan? Like, do you award a 2-game suspension and a heavy fine, or a 4-game suspension and a heavy fine? That's pretty serious. I want you to be sure of what he was trying to do before this judgment's made.
Yeah, like, are you even, like, do you want him, if you're the Eagles, do you want him to keep talking? Or is, like, damage done?
Yeah, I hear you.
Because when they report, and if reporters are able to ask him questions, he's going to get asked about it again. Next time Howie Roseman addresses the media, he's going to get asked about it again. Jeffrey Lurie, same type of thing. This isn't going away anytime soon.
Oh, no. No, so, it's not. Especially in this day and age where you know, press conferences aren't readily available.
Exactly. All right, let's get to Dan in the Northeast. Dan, what's going on, man?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Real quick, I'm going to preface by saying I am a Jewish American.
Okay.
With that being said, my heart was broken last year when DeSean got injured after that Redskins game,
mm-hmm.
and couldn't come back for the rest of the season. And it's just wild what he said. Like, if you actually unpack what he said, like, it's crazy. And the Riley Cooper thing is, they're two different animals. Like, Riley Cooper was a more, a visceral, in the moment kind of reaction. DeSean, obviously, I don't think he was drunk when he posted, those things. They're both equally, I'm gonna use the word dangerous.
Yeah.
And
the other thing with Riley Cooper that I even said to the other caller was that Riley Cooper said that word and then had to walk into a locker room where that word directly offends those people. And, like, the fact that they kept him around is still dumb. I still can't believe they actually did it. And, like, I don't like that that's the precedent that was set for today. But for me, hey, man, we just got done a month and a half, 2 months, and hopefully, you know, for the rest of time are still actually championing a cause for equality all the time. So timing should never be an issue, but it is a lot of times, and this is one of those things.
Joe Banner alluded to it in his tweet that his teammates physically attacked him. Was that previously known?
I didn't know that, no.
Yeah, Joe Banner said he was physically assaulted by teammates.
Wow.
Jeez.
Are you talking about Riley Cooper?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, you know, deservedly so.
Yeah. Exactly. He had it coming.
Yeah, but with all that being said, I really, and I believe myself, and probably, you know, I can't speak for the rest of the Jewish community, but we, I would imagine, we're going to be looking towards what Jeffrey Lurie is going to be doing with this situation, and how he was going to, how he's, and Howie as well, and how they're going to handle this, because you know, maybe Deshaun needs to come out with another statement. Maybe, look, maybe Jeffrey Lurie needs to sit down and talk with him and find out what he really believes, what he is willing to backtrack on.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to iron this out because Deshaun is one of my favorite football players, period.
Yeah,
nobody tracks the ball in the air like him. I can't, in recent memory, like, I remember Fred Barnett was an excellent ball tracker, but, you know, Deshaun's even better than him. Like, Deshaun is great. Like, and if he wasn't on the Eagles this season, and it's like, everyone's going, this would be, what, 4 months now without any pro sports? And then now you're going to take Deshaun away? Like, no, please, iron this out. Please.
Yeah. All right, Dan, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate that. And I think the word betrayed is how a lot of people feel that have been huge support, whether Jewish or not.
Right.
People that love Deshaun feel like, wait a minute, hold on a second. Like, even during the fallout with the gang membership, right? Oh, my, like 6 years ago, 7 years ago. Even through all that, people were like, that just wasn't right. So people want this to be ironed out. And now something like this comes out, and they're thinking, wait, I supported this guy 6 or 7 years ago, and now all of a sudden, it feels like they're being stabbed in the back.
No.
A guy who wrote a phenomenal piece on NJ.com, Mike Kay, is on the line with us right now. Mike, what's going on, man?
Nothing, man. Just, you know, writing about Deshaun every 5 minutes.
Oh, is that all? Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, I got to say, man, I read your article later last night, and it's a great piece. I recommend everyone go to NJ.com and check this out. This had to be a struggle for you, and reading your piece, you can really sense the back and forth in your own mind when covering a story like this as a Jewish person and as someone who covers the Eagles. So please walk us through it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my first instinct and most Jewish writers that I've spoken to that cover the NFL about this is to be objective, because I think once you lose your objectivity, you're not presenting a clear message for your audience to decipher. And I think to an extent, I went a little numb in my thought process. And so it took me a couple of days, but I then decided to just put out a video. It's about an 8-minute video. It's in that article that you brought up.
Mm-hmm.
The article's kind of just the appetizer. I really go into it in the video, but I think that helped me kind of find my voice and my rationale. Like, you know, we've talked about it before. I've got a little son. He's going to grow up Jewish. He's going to grow up in the Philadelphia, New Jersey area. He's going to look up to athletes in Philadelphia, most likely. So it's important that we talk about this situation not just as an anti-Semitic issue, but as a human issue. You know, quoting Hitler, whether you went to Hebrew school or you grew up in Southern California and you know, went to public school, knew nothing about Judaism, you know, is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you quote something that says Hitler says, immediately you're wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, look, I started learning about the Holocaust when I was 4 years old. My mother is a Holocaust education awareness advocate in South Florida. This is a subject that I know very, very much about, and it's actually kind of frustrating. Daniel Popper from The Athletic kind of brought this up too, and I didn't bring this up in the article, but given all I know about the Holocaust, it's made me a bigger fighter for equality in general. And I think a lot of Jewish fans and a lot of Eagles fans, in general, like you said earlier, feel kind of betrayed. And you know, from my perspective, I've interviewed Deshaun several times. You know me, I'm a straight shooter. I have to also take into account what I know about Deshaun, what I've seen from Deshaun, who was an absolute leader last year. Teammates praised him left and right for how great he was in the locker room. And then to see this, you know, it's extremely unfortunate, but I also think it's a major opportunity for the Eagles, for the league, and for the Jewish community to educate those who are ignorant to the atrocities of the Holocaust and the atrocities of anti-Semitism right now.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Mike Kay, NJ.com, wrote a great piece. And yeah, I see the video you have on the same article on NJ.com right now. So look, I don't consider myself someone who's not compassionate. However, I do tend to default to accountability before compassion. So what's the accountability here? How do they hold Deshaun Jackson accountable before the education process?
Well, that's the thing. I actually think the education process needs to come first, because that's how you can see the true information of or the true character of a guy. The Eagles have known Deshaun Jackson on and off for 12 years. They know what type of person he is. If they think that his ideology is the same as what he put out, then they should cut him. If he's just ignorant and really astonishingly historically unaware, they really need to educate him. Just cutting him doesn't do anything. It doesn't create an ally for change. If Deshaun doesn't feel the way those quotes portray him, then I think education is the number one action to take immediately. Now, it's not the only one. He's not off the hook. Those apologies really don't get him off the hook. They should look into fining him. They should look into suspending him. And if they deem necessary, releasing him. This is a situation that is very, very serious. You can bring up the Riley Cooper situation all you want, but they're not identical. Deshaun Jackson not only tweeted out the Hitler post, he doubled down on social media and did not immediately apologize.
Yeah, he highlighted it.
Yeah, Riley Cooper was drunk at a concert. What he said was deplorable and indefensible. And he should have faced bigger consequences than he did. Everybody knows that. But this team has a history of non-action with those type of issues, with Cooper, with Michael Vick coming off his arrest. You know, they're a team that waits things out. You've seen it in statements. They waited it out on the COVID donations because they were researching what they wanted to do. This team doesn't react in the moment. They're a thought-provoking organization, and they have internal discussions. And it would not shock me if a release may still be on the table, if a fine or a suspension may still be on the table, but they want to research. They want to adequately go through this and take the steps to realize, you know, what they're doing, especially in the social climate.
Mike, you brought up a great point. It's something I think that I've been trying to say over the last couple of days, and that's that I think we need to learn what Deshaun Jackson's intent was. He said in his so-called apology, you know, my intention wasn't this, my intention wasn't that. But he never says what the intention was. And I know you want to be objective here, but looking at it the way you did and the article that you wrote saying that you're both a Jewish man and, you know, a reporter that has to do his job, what do you think his intention was?
I think it was ignorance, to be honest with you. Knowing Jackson, I just don't think there was malice in it. I think there's misinformation that he took his gospel. I think he made a mistake. He clearly made a mistake, and clearly he needs to be educated. I'm somebody who grew up in a family that was surrounded by Holocaust education, and you don't realize what's going on until you've been told. I think it's the same thing with the Black Lives Matter movement. I mean, I didn't know about Black Wall Street until I saw Watchmen a few months ago. Like, you don't realize certain things are happening or have happened in this country until you really learn and have take the time to really identify what's wrong about something. I think sometimes we hear things or we see things, especially nowadays with social media and a lot of the false stuff that's put out there, and just take it for its word as opposed to researching. And I think we're in a great opportunity right now, not only for the Black Lives Matter movement, but for the fight against anti-Semitism, where we can teach people like this stuff's wrong, like this and stuff happened, you know, in the 40s. Like, this is, it's still within the last 100 years.
Yeah.
I think this is an important opportunity to not only educate Deshaun Jackson, but the entire Eagles roster, who has stunningly remained silent on this issue. Like, that's my, if you really want to know the root of my frustration with this whole thing, is no one has spoken up. I mean, and we went through weeks of hearing, you know, being quiet is being complicit. Well, you know, nobody outside of former Eagles defensive end Chris Long has really come out and said anything. Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman weren't even on the Eagles statement. So I'm. That's what I think the Jewish community is looking towards, is somebody who to denounce this. You know, a team statement is a team statement, an NFL statement is an NFL statement. But you know, if you're in that locker room, yes, there are Jewish players in that locker room, but you need to be able to show that you know right from wrong.
I will say, Jason Avant, I highlighted a little of this yesterday. Did say on Instagram when he quoted the Eagles statement. He did come out and say that he's happy that the Eagles are extending the same mercy that they extended Riley Cooper. However, he said our Jewish communities have endured devastating anti-Semitic injustices in this country and abroad. The Holocaust alone should warn us to never quote Hitler. DeSean Jackson's words are unjustifiable and fireable. And that's where he goes into, however, I'm happy that the Eagles are extending that same mercy. So it's the only two former Eagles I've seen, again, former, Chris Long and Jason Avant, to at least acknowledge indefensible.
Well, and I think Jason Avant brings a great perspective to this. He is a very religious man. He lives in New Jersey. He's still around in this community. Well-educated man who clearly knows right from wrong. That's what I appreciate about Chris Long. You know, he understands right from wrong, and clearly that's a more nuanced issue than I think I ever kind of understood. You know, some people don't know right from wrong, some people do. Others seem to have a middle ground, and I just think the silence is pretty deafening. I spoke to a player I used to cover in Jacksonville, and or a former player who I covered in Jacksonville, and he said, you know, the silence is deafening.
Yeah.
When he reached out to me after he read my article. So I think, you know, I think this is an opportunity where you can really have the Jewish community really rally around a player who stands up and really just comes out and just says it's wrong. Like, right. It's fact. It's wrong.
I'm with you, Mike. Not to cut you off. And I appreciate you coming on and speaking so openly about it. Do you remember sports and playing games and stuff?
Vaguely.
The thing that we were going to get into also with you a little bit here, a little bit of the business aspect of it. But first and foremost, Raheem Mostert, the running back for the San Francisco Giants. Eagles are in need of maybe another, or excuse me, San Francisco 49ers. It wants a trade. He's due about $2.7 million. He wants about $4 to $4.5 million. Do you think the Eagles would be a candidate to trade for a guy like Raheem Mostert?
I do, because I think the logic here, look, I reported a few weeks ago that they're not in the market to spend on a running back. That said, Morissette doesn't really have a lot of tread on his tire. I mean, well, no, he has a lot of tread on his tires, excuse me. He's mostly been a special teams player and really just emerged this past year. He's entering his prime. I've seen some folks say trading for a 28-year-old running back makes no sense. Well, saying he's a 28-year-old running back gives you no context.
Right.
He's barely touched the ball during his career. He's also averaged over 5.5 yards per carry the last 2 years. And he's coming off a 220-yard performance in the NFC title game where he scored 4 touchdowns.
Right.
I also think he's a great complement to both Miles Sanders and Boston Scott as kind of a do-it-all gadget guy. Plus, he could be a special teams captain. This team has lacked a true special teams ace. While Duke Riley and Alex Singleton and Nate Gary have done a lot of good work on special teams, you know, they lack like a true Chris Maragos ace, and Morissette brings that kind of attitude and talent to special teams. Like, that's how he's made his bones. And I think you also look at his connection to Rich Gangarello, the Eagles' offensive, offensive assistant, who was the quarterback's coach in San Francisco for a little bit. They're trying to bring in some Shanahan principles. Who better to bring in than Mostert, who really understands that offense? You know, they've already made a simple trade with the 49ers earlier this offseason for Marquise Goodwin. Why not just pick up the phone and have a conversation with John Lewis?
Yeah, but Mike, if I look at it from San Francisco's point, they made the Super Bowl last year. This guy was phenomenal for them. When you're that close, you know, the window's open still. Are you up to trading him, especially to another NFC contender?
Well, I think when you look at Tevin Coleman, who hopefully is finally healthy, they drafted some running backs. They have a full stock of running backs. To me, what they needed is some cornerback help, which the Eagles have a bunch of number 2 and 3 corners on their depth chart. You might as well see if you can, you know, make a deal.
Speaking with Mike K, NJ.com, last thing for you, any more fall? I mean, I can almost guarantee there's going to be more fallout here, but a guy like Malik Jackson goes on social media to call out the NFL for talking about putting money in escrow and really challenging these players in their most challenging time before they're deciding whether or not to play for the league at all during a pandemic. What are you making of some turmoil going on right now with the CBA?
Malik Jackson's saying probably what 95% of the NFL players think. I mean, yeah. that's And I say probably because I haven't talked to that many players about it.
But I think it's safe to assume.
It's pretty safe to assume. I think he's right. I think it's ridiculous to put employees in a situation like that when you haven't hashed out their financial benefits, nor have you figured out a true health plan for this whole thing.
Right.
You can say, oh, social distancing, but like Malik Jackson says, you can't pass rush from 6 yards away. You can't beat a double team from 6 yards away or 6 feet away. Excuse me. You know, it's just not something that really is capable. I mean, he can't tackle anybody. And then to have them go onto the field for a regular season game without any contact prior to, that just seems ridiculous to me. So I do think there's a lot to hash out in the next 19 days.
Right. Mike, always a pleasure catching up with you, man. Again, great piece. I recommend people check it out on MJ.com, and you've also tweeted it out as well. Thanks for coming on with us, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Mike K, MJ.com. 610-632-0975. We come back, talk to Georgia Mount area. We got Warren and Cherry Hill as well, and I'll update you on a little John Crux story.
And I have something kind of big from the Philadelphia Union that happened in the game today, which is pretty damn cool. And apparently did not have MLS approval, meaning they did it on their own and said, you know,
deal with it.
Yeah, basically. So we can update you on that when we return too. It's pretty awesome.
Sounds good. All that and more coming up here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farsetta in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So we told this story earlier. We referenced Chris Long's podcast already with what he said about DeSean Jackson, but John Kruk apparently went on with Chris Long as well. Why not? And this is the exact story that we need at this time. John Kruk was a fan of this big like rib place in Kansas City. Whenever he go to Kansas City, this is the rib place that he'd go to, right? So the guy that owned the rib place, I guess, said, hey, next time you're in Kansas City, reach out to this guy, my buddy George, and he'll hook you up with some more ribs. Next
George
time
the rib guy.
George the rib guy.
Okay.
So I don't know if he put him in his phone as George the rib guy, but nonetheless, he put him in his phone. And he's texting with George the rib guy. And he's like, really looking for. Now, is this the most John Kruk thing ever? To like, in a year in advance, plan a rib dinner? You know what I mean? So he's texting with this guy.
Gotta eat.
You gotta eat. And sure enough, this guy George, before the Phillies play in Kansas City, he texts with George the rib guy again. And he says, hey George, do you need any help getting up to the broadcast booth to drop off the ribs? And George is like, no, I think I'll be all right. So after a year of texting with this gentleman, George the rib guy, the door flies open in the broadcast booth at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. And the guy holding the ribs, George the rib guy, unbeknownst to John Kruk, was George Brett. Hall of Fame third baseman George Brett. That was the rib guy. Imagine going back and forth with that guy and you're just like, oh, this is just some rib guy. And sure enough, it was George Brett, I guess, caught on to it and never let him in.
Oh, he must have, right?
The fact that it was, so he'll still text, okay, according to John Kruk, George Brett will still text.
That's pretty good.
So text back and forth, that's George the rib guy.
Nice.
Before we hit the break there, Jamie was alluding to something that the Philadelphia Union did, who are what, in Orlando, Florida right
now? Yeah, they're currently in action in the 19th minute versus New York Football Club, who is owned by Man City over in the EPL. About to enter the 20th minute. Nil-nil, as they say.
Nil-nil.
But the real story was made in the pregame, and this is very commendable by the Philadelphia Union. They came out all with Black Lives Matter t-shirts on, and it was kind of like their warm-up jersey, shirt, what have you. And they did take a knee prior to the game, but when they turned around, they all lined up as a team photo with the Black Lives Matter t-shirt on. They all removed the t-shirts at once and turned their backs to the camera, and all their jerseys are the victims of police brutality.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, a lot of the spark behind the Black Lives Matter movement. Mm. You know, Tamir Rice is on there. Breonna Taylor's on there. Floyd, obviously. You know, Eric Gardner. I mean, there's too many names to list. But the entire team, each person picked a name of a police brutality victim. And they apparently did not have MLS's approval. This wasn't like a pre-approved thing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, MLS would look like total jerks if they came down with any kind of, you know, penalty towards them.
Right.
But an incredible move by the Philadelphia Union. A beautiful moment of solidarity there as the MLS returns to action.
Yeah, and Jim Curtin is coaching the game with the Black Lives Matter shirt on.
And he's the man.
Yeah,
Jim
he is
a great dude.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So very powerful picture. I retweeted it from the station account if you haven't seen it yet. But can't give the Union enough props for that one.
On that note, and I'm seeing this by way of John Clark, who I think just has a lasso for everything substantial on social
media.
Yeah,
he must have a notification for literally every person to do with Philadelphia sports ever.
That and airports.
Those
John,
he's got those on lockdown.
He's amazing. Julian Edelman apparently released a statement and a video, and John Clark tweeted it with a quote from Julian Edelman saying, like, no, let's make an issue of this about DeSean Jackson. He's like, let's have those uncomfortable conversations.
I mean,
Julian Edelman, Jewish, obviously.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, he's apparently one of the people that will make a loud stink about this, and rightfully so.
Yeah, rightfully so.
All right, let's get to George in Mount Airy. George, what's happening, man? Hey, George.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hey.
So I was telling, I guess you're a producer, when I called in, I think it was yesterday. I was on Instagram, and I was looking at, was skipping Shannon's show, Undisputed, whatever.
Okay.
And apparently, and I say this apparently because I haven't heard it from DeSean's mouth, Shannon said he talked to him Tuesday and asked him what was his purpose of this whole thing. And he said, he claims that his intent was to inform basically everybody, especially Black people, that we have more power than we think we do by basically allocating our money into Black businesses. And if we would do that, we would start taking back the power that we apparently have. Now, I bring that up because I didn't know, I literally stopped paying attention after Monday because I just think he just did a dumb thing.
I'm seeing this tweet right now from Shannon Sharp from 17 hours ago that says, oh God, when whites say something bad in the NFL, they get Tony Dungy to clean it up. Where is it? Where is the person in the Jewish community that will come to our defense? I'm not excusing DeSean, but whites never have to disavow. Jerry Jones and Mr. Kraft stand lock, stock, and barrel with Trump. All right, that's Shannon's take. Well, there's a take there.
You guys tell me real quick. I know he put, and see, I never take any value to people's apologies after they make a public statement or on anything like, for example, the Drew Brees thing. I didn't believe that apology when I saw that stupid tweet that he made. And I feel the same way about the show and about making that apology. I just don't believe it. But you said he doubled down on...
It looks like it. Oh, DeSean Jackson doubled down?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's the thing that's just even more mind-numbing than an already mind-numbing situation. The fact that he put out the statement that led with Hitler said, and then somebody, you know, I'm sure a bunch of people called him on it, and then he redacted Hitler's name from it, three other paragraphs from it, and then kept one thing that had to do with Jewish people extorting America.
And let me just put out this PSA right now, just in case we have any more irresponsible people that really don't understand who and what Hitler was. Hitler hated Black people too.
Uh-huh.
He hated everybody that said that didn't look like him or what he was trying to make. So just keep that in mind. Hitler hated Black people too.
George, I'll say this. I'll say this. And thanks for the call, man. I'll say this. As I stated earlier, I reference the way, way back of an old Volvo station wagon often, right? In this case, we're in the way, way. I'm in the way, way back. Jewish people are up front. They're first in here. Their opinions, whatever they want to say about it, I'm all ears. I'm listening.
Right, exactly.
But as one of the people in the way, way back, as many other people, you know how many people died in World War II? And basically, as Hitler wanted to start something, 400,000 Americans, over 400,000 Americans, okay? A lot of people don't like Hitler. Hitler didn't like a lot of people. I get you on that. It offends more than just Jewish people. There again, I'm way backseat to that.
Right.
I'm totally, they first crack at it. But I'm just saying, it offends a lot more people than, I guess, the average Joe wants to admit. And that's what's so hurtful about what actually came out. And to use him as a platform to prove your own point, never a good look. Warren in Cherry Hill. What's up, Warren?
Boys.
Hey, man.
Hey, Warren.
Wasn't it a few weeks ago that we were complimenting to Sean on a remark he made in the locker room? He's trying to bring unity. You guys had this on the air. Has anybody mentioned this at all?
Yeah. I referenced him. I referenced Jeffrey Lurie in saying how equality is something we all have to strive for.
Listen, I am also happen to be a Jewish young man, well, old man, but here's the two choices that Sean has, and there is no middle ground. It's either he's a racist or he's a goddamn moron. He only has two choices. No, really, am I wrong?
No.
That's not ignorant. He's a moron. Mm-hmm. So all he has to be asked is, what do you prefer? Are you a moron or you're racist?
Right.
I got to be honest with you. I'm not real good at mincing or holding back my words, so I've got to be careful when I say we are now at the point where people don't understand. It's not just, if you want to call white people racist, black people. Everyone in every group and every race has racism. And it gets to the point we're almost tripping over being careful what we say. There were 6 million people, 6 million Jewish people killed in the Holocaust. And in all honesty, that took place in our history closer to us than slavery.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a horrible thing, slavery. No one should put another human being down. No one owns another human being. But we got to get past just the Black Lives Matter. This isn't all lives matter. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, I was thinking about Shannon Sharpe, till you mentioned his name. This is a man who called for Drew Brees to retire, a man who wrote more checks to more organizations than Shannon Sharpe ever thought he would. Why wouldn't Shannon Sharpe now retire, like he said, Drew Brees? It's just, you can't tiptoe around. There's racism. We've got to fix it. But I will tell you this. It is getting better with every new generation. Let me ask some old school Italians, old school people, anybody who came to this country. And I'm sure some of us know people with grandparents who are just ignorant, racist people.
Mm-hmm.
But these young people are learning more and more. But this is not good for any of it. We've got to promote that every lives matter. It's not a black life. It's not a Korean life. It's not an Oriental. It's not a Jewish.
Right.
All lives matter. And when everybody realizes this, including African Americans, it's going to be a lot easier, much easier. And to say the Riley Cooper thing had anything to do with this, it was a different time. It was a different day. And honestly, the only reason the Eagles might not do something is because they're too scared and they want to tiptoe and not cause another disturbance. That man should never be on the playing field again.
I would do the same thing if I was the Eagles, Warren, and thanks for the
call.
Thanks,
Warren.
And I know some people look at the All Lives Matter response to Black Lives Matter as something that is condescending and taking the focus off. But in essence of what DeSean Jackson said, I'm okay with that statement being, I'm usually not, but like we're focusing on one thing, and we should be focusing on one thing in particular. But when DeSean Jackson says what he says and puts it out there with Hitler, geez. That's where we do need to focus on equality for all.
Yeah,
yes,
equality is just the word we need to stand on.
And I've said that I believe in the Black Lives Matter movement, and I get that. And when I first heard that phrase, as I pointed out weeks ago, I was like, well, hold on a second here. That's condescending. Black Lives Matter. Well, what about my life? My life doesn't matter. But it's like, imagine trying to remind somebody or having to remind somebody that your life matters.
Yeah.
And that's what speaks to me about the Black Lives Matter movement. But when DeSean comes out and puts out Hitler's quote unquote, no, allegedly Hitler's quote.
Right.
But uses that bottom line, at least he thought he was using Hitler's ideas to support his own narrative. That's where I got to go, hey guys, this is equality for everybody, right? This isn't just selective equality. My equality is not going to be selective. Everyone's welcome at my table. Sit down and eat.
Right. You know, and Mike K brought up a great point too. Like, where are the Eagles? Why is there silence out of this? Why aren't we hearing something? I called for Jeffrey Lurie to come out with a statement that day, the next day. You know, we knew DeSean Jackson was going to come out with something. And the Eagles came out with a statement, and you said it, Mark. It was a statement. It didn't have a name on it.
Mm.
You know, it didn't say Jeffrey Lurie. It didn't say Howie Roseman.
Right.
You know, this is almost till you get to the point of, nothing's going to change. Let it go. You know, you hear people saying that, this is never going to change. And the line to that is, yeah, as long as you have that attitude, it's not going to change.
Right.
It has to change because we have to talk this out. We have to learn from it. We have to go forward with it. But, you know, I would love for there to be a public conversation. It's not going to happen, but I would love for there to be a public conversation between a Howie or among a Howie, a Jeffrey Lurie, and a DeSean Jackson. You know, I think we could all learn. I just want to know what his intent was.
Shout out to John, who just sent me this. John sending me a quote from Bleeding Green Nation. Apparently, DeSean Jackson liked an Instagram post that suggested he shouldn't have had to apologize.
Yeah.
Not a good start. We play internet detectives all the time. But, like, this would be one thing where maybe just stay off social media in general.
The post allegedly said, "I pray for the day black men stop having to apologize for what we say," that he liked.
A lot of people are apologizing for what they say.
He had intent. I'm more convinced of it than any. He's got an avenue that he's trying to travel down.
I want to believe what Warren said. I want to believe that he's a moron.
Yeah.
I don't want to believe that.
Well, yeah, because the other option is that he's evil.
That is like, hey, Nazis, great idea. Like, no, that's terrible. I don't want to go that route. And that's the route that it opens up when you use Hitler to try to prove your point and say that you were right.
Yeah.
I can't believe I even have to say this stuff.
I know.
And apparently Malik Jackson and Marquise Goodwin, who we mentioned yesterday, both, you know, were supporting his cause, however you want to phrase it.
All right. Just
It's a powder keg, man. This really is.
When we grew up, it was always like, well, you know what you can't do? Ever, like, quote Hitler. Like, don't ever use Hitler. Hitler's evil. Like, people couldn't even make jokes about Hitler, right? And it's like, oh, God, no, you just did what? And now apparently that's commonplace now?
No, it's not.
That's not going to be accepted in my world.
Yeah. Hopefully it wouldn't be accepted in anybody's
world. No, apparently people still want to justify it. Let's get Taste Cake Dom. What's up, Taste Cake Dom?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, buddy.
Bob.
Hey, man.
What's up, Mark?
So,
yeah, Dom.
So my father, when he was 18 years old, joined the Navy, and he fought in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
So, and... If we could all talk to DeSean Jackson, the first thing I would say is, do you know who Jesse Owens is? Do you know that story?
Do I? Yeah.
Not you, Mark. DeSean.
Oh yeah.
Because do you know who Joe Louis is? I mean, Hitler belittled and attacked both of them, and through their actions, they uplifted a nation. When Joe Louis defeated Max Schmeling, he uplifted the entire country. So, you know, Hitler's evil was against anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just pray every day, and I do pray every night, that we have health and we have peace. And it's awful that you guys are put in a position where you got to talk about these subjects, which you have to do. But, you know, any hate comments, it's just enough. I mean, don't we have enough right now where we got to sanitize our hands every 30 seconds and wear masks? And isn't there enough in this country that now we have to have hate?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to, Dom, like, I'm really looking forward to the Sixers playing. I'm really looking forward to watching the Flyers and all that. Like, I thought we were getting closer and closer to that, and I thought we were getting more to just identifying players that wanted to play in the bubble and players that didn't feel comfortable opting out and all that. But, like, we still have a lot of the BS that we still have to deal with in this world that is just, it's just not going away.
It's just not going away, and I hope that when sports returns, you know, that unifies us or we gets our attention away from all this other bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to, and Mark, by the way, listen, you're going to be watching every single Phillies game. Are you kidding?
Yeah, you're right.
I am going to be watching.
And he's going to have his hat on and his heart.
No, No, I will be paying attention to the Phillies. I can't guarantee I'll be watching every game because if the Sixers are on at the same time as the Phillies or the Flyers are on, I'll be watching the Sixers or the Flyers and over there.
And you get a text, Bryce just hit a 400-footer.
Yeah.
Last click. Yep. I use the last. Like when I'm watching two games, you hit that last button. Isn't that the greatest invention?
Yeah.
Last. You can watch both games. Yeah. You just keep hitting that button until it wears out.
Yeah, and when it happens, I'll say, that's cute, and then I'll go back to basketball.
No, you won't.
I don't believe you, Mark.
No, me neither, Dom. I don't believe you a little bit.
Thanks for the call, brother. No, I'm being real, man. I'm being real. And apparently a Twitter poll was put out that I wasn't even aware of.
Instagram poll, yeah.
It was put out that I wasn't even aware of.
People think you're lying.
And it's misleading.
No, it's not.
It's misleading. It's not truthful at all.
Yes, it is.
Because I didn't say I wasn't going to watch. I said I wasn't going to be passionate about it. My love won't be there.
Oh, did he even put watch?
I believe he said watch. Now he's implying I won't do my job. I'm going to do my job, damn it.
Well, we know what it meant. It means
I don't think. No, I don't want to be misconstrued.
You're going to love the first game that you watch. No, you're going to fall back in love.
I am not
going to.
You know, I'll probably be watching. I'll be watching a replay on NFL Game Pass of the Eagles season last year. That's what I'll probably be doing.
And then
I'll wait for like somebody to post a video of somebody doing something, and I'll be like, oh, okay, they're back and they're playing. Good for them. That's what I'll be doing.
No.
You think I'm kidding?
No, I think
I'm not
you're
kidding.
Lying.
I'm so turned off. You think I'm lying? I'm so turned off by baseball right now.
You will be.
And I actually
until the
feel,
first pitch.
I will say this. I feel a little guilty because I know there's players putting their lives on the line here. Their well-being on the line, I should say. And I'm looking at it and I'm just like, it could have been back sooner. And it was a labor dispute. And they couldn't even iron out the health wrinkles here with getting testers. Like, they didn't plan for 4th of July weekend. Seriously? Yeah, no, I'm still out, and yeah, I'll be paying more attention to baseball. Well, do you think I'm lying that I'm going to pay more attention to basketball and hockey?
Put it this way: you'll pay more attention to baseball than most of our listeners out there, and probably me and Jamie.
I will pay attention for my job, but I won't do it as a fan.
An excuse.
Oh,
no. That's the excuse.
That's not
right
an excuse.
There. Oh, I have.
I'm
going to
tell you right
job.
Now. I'm not going to be jumping up and down. I'm treating this 60 game season as if it's an exhibition for next year.
When
it's
you see your first bunting flag, you'll be a puddle.
I didn't even know what bunting meant until like 5 years ago.
I just want to point out, I did put this up on Instagram, on a poll for Instagram.
We mentioned that. Brought to you by Window Nation.
83% said no. Yeah, I'm prepping the next show back there, Bob.
What was the question, Pat?
It's my problem.
Jeez.
Ask the question. What was the question?
I'm gonna go at him after the show. This man is saying he's not interested in the upcoming season. It's a picture of you, Mark.
It says interested.
Yeah, you're not interested.
Ah, so you didn't mislead.
Do you believe he really won't watch any baseball?
Oh, was that the question you asked? I knew it.
Been.
You liar.
And that's not a liar.
You liar.
You're implying that if you're not interested in something, you're not going to watch it.
I got to watch it. I have to watch
no,
it.
No, you don't.
It's
because
my job,
the fact
Patrick.
You have the Sixers and the Flyers and Eagles training kit, there's other options.
Yeah, I know there's other options, but I got to pay attention to it.
It's not like we've been, you know, the home of Phillies baseball when they're bad.
This is the question you should have asked. Will Mark have the warm and fuzzies while watching baseball? No, he will not.
I'm sure that Instagram comments would
warm
have been
and
beautiful for that
warm,
one.
Warm and fuzzies. Warm and fuzzies. I feel like that that gives the point even more. Rick, let's get to Rick. Rick, what's on your mind, bud?
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Rick.
I listen a lot, and I'm in the car, and I hear this. I'm really, really mashed about the DeSean Jackson thing.
Mm-hmm.
Our ongoing conversation about it is making this a bit worse. And the reason I'm saying this is, first of all, let me preface this whole Sim guy saying it was stupid. It was a stupid thing to say. It was totally out of place.
Okay.
He used certain words and names that are immediately touched sparks.
Yes.
For conversation, and it is newsworthy. I do agree with that.
All right.
So, DeSean, sit back, man, take a gulp, and come on and really apologize with nothing written in front of you. That's what I want to say.
Well, he did
that. I also know that DeSean was not an English lit major, nor was he a historian.
Mm-hmm.
He's a receiver in the National Football League. And maybe he just doesn't immediately have the wherewithal to come out and distinctly and succinctly explain what he actually meant. I'm giving him that leeway.
Okay.
Because let me tell you something. Nobody said this better than Chris Rock one time. He was doing a stand-up, and he said, There's not one white guy in here who would want to be me, and I'm rich.
Yeah, I remember that. Rich, thanks for the call. I remember that line. I remember laughing my ass off at it when I was like in eighth grade. But like even for that, it doesn't apply here.
No.
I think he told our producer that he was fanning the flame.
We're fanning the flame. I thought, really? So let's shove it aside.
Specifically, I think he meant like all media.
Oh.
Yeah, let's shove it aside because that's worked so well in history of not talking about things and not having open discussions. That really works well.
In times of turmoil, I want to be able to look back in a couple of years and on the shows that we've done over the last like month and a half and now a month and a half, a couple day break, and then back to it, unfortunately. And I want to be proud of the type of radio we did.
Exactly.
I don't want to be like, hey, you know what we did instead? Hey, what's your favorite color for a week? No, I don't want to do that show. We've talked about the real issue, and it's still an issue. And by the way, it could greatly affect how good the Eagles are next year, by the way, because I think DeSean Jackson can still be a pretty damn good wide receiver in the NFL. Like, I was excited about what he would do this year. But in the times that we're in now, and yeah, they are different times. Even 7 years, 6 years ago with Riley Cooper, 7 years ago with Riley Cooper, all that, it doesn't justify keeping him then. Keeping DeSean now doesn't make it right then. I understand you want to talk about precedent. The NFL owner, Jeffrey Lurie, just came out a couple of weeks ago and talked about equality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's timing shouldn't matter, but unfortunately it does. Pat Egan, what was the final on our Twitter poll then? Brought to you by Window Nation. Call 1-866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Yeah, so because...
You're a liar?
No, I'm not a liar.
You're
not interested. Thus, we all think you're not going to watch. That's what you alluded to. And 83% are calling you on your bluff. They don't believe you.
Dom just hit me up on Twitter saying... Mark is basically Mike Scott trying to quietly walk out of the room. He sent me a GIF, Mark watching baseball for his job.
You're basically like acting like you're a martyr in this situation. Like, I'm going to suffer so everybody doesn't have to.
Actually, I'm not a martyr at all. I'm just a guy who usually loves baseball and I feel betrayed. So there you go. What's your takeaway of the day, Pat?
I don't believe you.
I just don't believe you. Was it the Little Legs comment? Is that why you're making me out to be a liar?
Yeah, wow, you went back to it, too.
You got to re-mention it. You've made an enemy out of me.
Open wounds?
You've made an enemy. I'd wash your tires.
I say this, but...
It's the only thing on your car I can hit. It's the only thing.
See, somebody said that... Like,
that's his comfort zone.
Somebody said that like you and Jamie are like brothers.
Yeah, that's what we do. We get together and do extra activities. We do karate in the garage sometimes.
Jamie Lynch, what's your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is if we don't try our hardest as a human race to make a positive from a bad situation, we're not evolving. And I understand this is a difficult topic, but we have to move forward in a positive direction. And that, you know, basically comes down to listening to others. That's it.
I'm with you.
Yeah, and just to build on that, if you think silence is golden, you're sadly mistaken, because that's a big reason why we're in the position we're in right now.
Okay, I'm with you as well. My takeaway of the day is that John Kruk thought that George Brett was just George the Rib Guy for a very long time.
Amazing.
And that brings so much joy to my heart, unlike actual baseball in a couple of weeks. Stay tuned. Jason Martinez in today, filling in for Anthony Gargano on the Anthony Gargano Show. Jason Martinez coming up next here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.